for that. See if we had questions for you, and I'll ask the same room.
Yes, thank you very much, Dean. So I just have one for you, Dean, and it's more a question of clarification on your paragraph on the second side, down the third paragraph or fourth paragraph from the bottom. The second sentence, this paragraph starts, "We say Environment Southland."
I'm saying to our people,
right.
We say that Environment Southland, and we are working together to do,
okay,
to do these things together. Make change, yeah.
I just wanted, okay, no, I've got that. I just wanted to ask about the second sentence, and I think the word your should be our rather than your, is that right?
Yeah, well, it's yours, as could be yours or ours, but it's me actually responding to our people saying that we've compromised some of your values to come to a plan that sits well in terms of our values protection.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be yours or ours, because it's me saying back to our people, or our people talking to each other, if you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your values or our people's values.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, no, good. I just wanted to clarify that. Thanks, that's all.
Tēnā kōrua, ngā mihi atu kia pēdīmo tō mihi kia tātou, rāua kō Elsa, ka mihi mō. Thanks for that. You mentioned on the same question, I wasn't sure whether you were talking about the compromise previously or within the process of this plan and the end. So you're talking about the integration concept,
yeah, of NATO values. During discussion, as you note, some of our people are saying some quite strong things about where they want to get it back to, drinkable and that. So we have to say we've got to get to a maintain stage before we can have those aspirational goals going forward. So there's compromises there, and there's obviously other compromises during that consultation process, collaborative working together process.
So a deliberate, in the end, decision to integrate those values within the policies and rules of the plan. That's the outcome of the processes.
Yes, that's correct.
Hence, you don't want to see any change or weakening, that's what you're saying.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Of course, there will be change through the evidence, the evaluation of the evidence. Of course, our objective is to improve the plan, but the inevitable process, there will be some change.
We understand that. We felt during the process where we got to in terms of the draft water and land plan was a position that our people were quite comfortable with, and would like to see any more permissive than what it presently at, given the fact that there's already been a few compromises and there have been wants and desires or the wawata. And so for it to get any less, to be more permissive, it actually means a potential deterioration or a conflict with our values. So, yeah, we've already had,
yeah. Yeah, I understand that. I'm possibly right in understanding that. Oh, you're familiar with the proposed various definitions of mahinga kai, and there's been a couple of changes, and I think the latest one is mean to read mahinga kai, yes, mahinga kai is central to the Ngāti Hiki Rerehiki way of life and a principal component of environmental management. Mahinga kai is about places, ways of doing things, and resources that sustain people. That's
how it's described in Te Tangi, and I know that Ryan is going to cover the definition.
I think what you find in terms of mahinga kai, that as you noted on the video, whānau have, and was also suggested that there might be different descriptors around what mahinga kai is, depending on who you speak to. Generally, they're all correct. It's just what we, in terms of what we get for this plan, but we obviously know and that it's the process around food collection, not just the food and that you might receive when you're out doing your collection. So it's all those materials, those places, as Muriel suggested, that it's actually getting, you know, potentially you can get into those places and up and down those waterways, and how waterways affect that mahinga kai, those species and all that sort of stuff. So it can be broad term, which we've got a couple of descriptors there, but obviously Brian might speak to the most correct descriptor.
Yeah, you know, yes, it can. There can be various ways to describe it. I think what I was looking for, I think the one that Ryan's referring to includes health of the related ecosystems, and I think the question in my mind was the health of the related ecosystems is impacted most often by other people's activities, or a resource changes because activity. But mahinga kai never changes, but it might be impacted on.
I think what we were conscious of in this plan is mahinga kai is bigger than the Resource Management Act. It's much bigger. And so which elements fitted within the planning framework, as in the water and land plan is proposed. And for that, it was a degree of compartmentalisation to think about that. And the three areas that came out quite strong were obviously the activity, the customary practice, the place in which you undertake that practice, and the health in which you do it is mostly covered within this plan, and therefore we focus. The definition was quite a targeted definition towards the practices as managed by this plan.
Yes, I thought that was the intention, to address the current day situation. So the definition's influenced by current day activities.
Correct. We were looking to create a definition for a different, for amongst ourselves, as you see in Te Tangi, it's quite broad. And within whānau, of course, depending on the practices they still undertake, they have their own definition and their own seasonality and their own indicators. For this plan, the Resource Management Act, and it being the Water and Land Plan, the definition reflects that practice.
The only question I had, and look, it's totally over to the hokai to make their own definition, but I am posing the questions, is the strength of the definition, the strength of mahinga kai remains the same, and should be of greater weight, in my mind, if it's applied in our traditional way of thinking of it, and not allowing it to be modified by other people's behaviours.
I think quite right. I don't think I'm going out on a limb by suggesting that we weaken it. No, it's to stay quite strong. And it is always that dilemma of how well does a plan actually understand mahinga kai, and if it's defined as we truly understand it as whānau, does the plan even move close to reaching what it needs to allow us to undertake. So with the links within the introduction to the plan, the links to other areas which Dr. Tipper will talk about around indicators of health, and the links to some of the policies, as well as Te Tangi, which clearly spells it out, and other Ngaitahu documents and policies and strategies, we hope as a collective package the true understanding of mahinga kai can be realised.
So it's a well thought out strategy.
Yeah. Yep. Sure.
Okay, thank you.
No question. Just one comment, Mr. Chairman, if I may, or two actually. One, I've thoroughly enjoyed reading all the evidence, so not only yours but the others. I think it's been a great learning exercise for me in this role. So I just want to say thank you for that. The second thing is, I think there's we've had other submitters who may not use exactly the same words, but I've looked at your evidence in 4.7, which say the same sorts of things. Intergenerational, water is important to them. So I think there's, when we did the values work together, we might have used different words, but the intent is, I think there's a very strong alignment, not only within the Tahu, but I think within the wider community. So the questions we have today is, how do we do that? So I just want to thank you for that and point that out. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've just got a question about the issue of making the plan more permissive, and that was raised in legal submissions as well. Making a plan more permissive could entail one of two things in my mind. It could entail making the objectives and the policies, making the objectives and the policies more permissive, i.e. weakening the outcomes that the plan seeks to achieve, or it could involve retaining the objectives and policies and the outcomes to be achieved, but making technical changes to the revisions, for instance, making an activity a discretionary activity instead of a non-complying activity. That could be seen as more permissive, even though the outcomes to be achieved are the same. What did you have in mind when you were thinking about asking us not to make the plan more permissive? Was it focused on the outcome side of it, or the technical side of it in terms of consent categories?
For the comments about the technical workings of the plan, I am going to quite happily pass that to Trina and Ryan. For the overall intent, I think comes clearly through to Mana o Te Wai. So what we intend for the ultimate objective, thinking that Ngāi Tahu's mindset of planning is intergenerational, what can we have now and in the future, was the kind of refocus of the health of the water and land is the priority within the plan, and the activities and what happens is a secondary consideration. I think the concern about more permissive is that that's flipped, and it's not the health and water that's the key priority. Talk about the technical terms and how that actually comes into a rules framework, I'm going to give Trina a hospital pass on that one.
So if I interpret your answer, and thank you for that, to mean that when you think about the request not to make the plan more permissive, you are thinking more about the outcomes and the objectives it's seeking to achieve. So there's different ways of getting to an outcome, but it's more about the end point in your mind.
At the high level?
Mm.
So for the high level, I would say that would be correct. I think for how that actually works, that's well outside my expertise.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And Commissioner Ellison has thought of another question for me. You think she got off too lightly?
Well, no, it's probably Dean's person to ask the question about what are you referring to when you refer to Marihiku?
When I was sitting over there, I knew you were going to answer that question. Marihiku, you can translate that to the end of the whale's tale, but Marihiku is not just in New Zealand. It's a name for the outlying islands in the Pacific, but in terms of where we're at, Marihiku has been referred to in the past as lands the southern part of Te Waipounamu, on Waitaki South, we're sort of suggesting. In a modern context, Marihiku has been divided. We tend to maintain in these council type regular tertiary authorities, regional council type boundaries, that Marihiku sits in the same boundary as the regional council. So, and then Otago is outside of that as well. So joined together, they would refer to the older Marihiku. But in a modern context, Marihiku is more defined down into the Southland part of our Te Waipounamu. That would be my understanding of how it sits at the moment.
Thank you.
But as Māori, we know what Muruhiku is for us. And we're looking at it, and even in this particular forum around planning councils, we talk about Muruhiku as that south area.
Yep, thank you. Good care with that. Good.
Thank you, sir.